Joined by Bill Fletcher Jr., who's the executive editor of globalafricanworker.com. So you've described white wing populism as a toxic current in the U.S. society, including in our unions. I want you to explain for us what right wing populism is and how is it impacting our unions exactly?
So thank you, Bianca, for inviting me for this program. Concisely, white wing populism, I always like to say, is the herpes of capitalism. It is a virus in the system. And at different points when the system weakens, the virus strengthens. And it evidences various kinds of symptoms. You can see anytime there is a major economic calamity that right-wing populism in one form or another emerges. Right-wing populism is a movement that is fundamentally a movement against the future. It is a movement that is based on various kinds of mythology about the past. And depending on what country you're talking about, right-wing populism constructs a mythical past, whether it's Al-Qaeda, which is essentially a fascist group, but fascism is a subset of right-wing populism. And Al-Qaeda is constructing the caliphate. And there, the particular caliphate they've described never exists. There were caliphates, but not the one that they described. For right-wing populists in the United States, it's the 1950s, which they have essentially constructed as a time of great stability and a time when men were men, women were girls, and, people of color knew their place. Right-wing populism is a movement against progress and responds to progressive movements. It's essentially a counterattack, and it's a counterattack that is rooted in something that's called revanchism. That is a political movement that seeks revenge for what was allegedly taken from someone, from some population. And because right-wing populism is very much related and wrapped up with race and gender, in the context of the United States, right-wing populism is overwhelmingly white. And it is a movement that is basically saying, in effect, it doesn't pay to be white anymore in the United States. That's right-wing populism in a nutshell. There's a great book by Chip Berlay and Matthew Lyons called Right-Wing Populism in America. I highly recommend it. And I wrote a piece in 2016 in the Socialist Register called Stars and Bars, which is about right-wing populism in the United States. And I'd recommend that you, the viewers, take a look at it. And final point is this, Bianca. I would argue right-wing populism is a major threat in the working class movement in the United States, in part because it responds to and is based among middle-income whites who fear that they are going to be discarded or they're going to be crushed. And they are out to reverse that. And they, some of these folks are within the union movement. Some of right-wing populists can regularly seize hold of our language and use elements of our language, so that they even can sound progressive at moments. But fundamentally, they're talking about describing a dystopia. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I want to just take a moment to pivot for a second to this current moment that we're in. We've heard elected officials, both on the local level and on the national level or federal level, say we have to make sure that the cure is not worse than the disease, meaning the economy should be prioritized over public health. We also see angry small business owners and individuals protesting the shelter-in-place orders due to them experiencing financial hardship, from them not being able to work, but also because they feel like their rights have been infringed upon. You've described this as social Darwinism, Bill. I wonder, what do you mean by that? And what are the implications of this value system that we see at play?
Couple of things to answer that. These right-wing talking points that we're hearing about the cure can't be worse than the illness, or reopen the states, take place in the context of the erosion of the social safety net in the United States. And so what has happened is that the medical system is completely overwhelmed, in part because of privatization and the lack of resources put into public health. And when workers are out as a result of this kind of plague, the social safety net all but doesn't exist. And so people are being squeezed. There's no question about that. The social Darwinism was a phenomenon developed in the late 1800s, along with something that was called, interestingly, scientific racism. And social Darwinism was basically the idea of introducing the survival of the fittest into society. But these theoreticians of capitalism took it and used it to justify what we call the Gilded Age, the age of immense wealth polarizations, much like we're living in right now. This social Darwinism in certain forms has entered into theology. You have this prosperity theology, this idea that essentially God is looking out for those who do well. Doing well indicates a closeness to God and somehow pleasing God. I've read the Bible in a mosque. I don't ever remember seeing anything like that either, but you know, maybe I missed a few chapters. So you have this notion of looking, the strong shall survive. And so what happens, what's been happening, what Trump and others have been trying to say is that it's really okay if a lot of people die, as long as we can open up the economy. And they started floating this idea of older people, and depending on who you're talking to, older could be 60, it could be 80, but anyway, that older people should be willing to sacrifice themselves for the economy. Up on that. So now what's happening is this movement, which is a sort of neo-Tea Party movement that has developed to reopen states, very well choreographed, by the way. I mean, it'd be interesting to see who their directors were, because they're definitely getting attention, irrespective of how strong their numbers are or not. But they're basically pushing this line that it's okay for some people to die. Most of us aren't. And therefore, we should lift the restrictions. Now, there's a lot of problems with this, Bianca. I mean, one of the obvious problems is when you look at what's happening in the medical system, the system is overwhelmed. It can't afford to take the risk of another influx of massive numbers of sick people, even if those sick people don't die. The second thing, which is not getting very much discussion at all, is that COVID-19 is having more damaging effects than the flu. Usually with the flu, I mean, there's some people, a lot of people that do die with the flu, but usually with the flu, you get over the flu and that's it. COVID-19 is now demonstrated to have impact on people's organs, long-term impact, which could mean lengthier stays in hospitals and other kinds of medical help. Our system is not aimed at helping people. So you have this right-wing move that's typically suggesting this, is that we've got to shift the entire discussion. The right wing is really good at putting us on the defensive and raising arguments, often irrational arguments, that people will just repeat and repeat as if it's common sense. We've got to flip it. I'm saying, let's take on the libertarians. They're supposed to be libertarians. They're supposed to believe in lack of government. They're tired of these restrictions. I would say, good.
let's take you up on that. Here's an affidavit. I just want you to sign this and just waive your rights. And let's see how many of these suckers will take us up on. See, that's part of the game that we're engaged in. So I think internationalism, practicing internationalism, necessitates education. And we need to have real education in the unions and labor movement about race and the nature of capitalism. And then finally, thinking about going forward, domestic and global Green New Deal strategies. And we've got to be thinking not simply about retooling the United States, but the relationship of the United States to the rest of the world as we try to beat back this environmental catastrophe. And one thing I think we're learning through the COVID plague is that there's not one country that can do it on its own. Solidarity forever.